you'll keep your Bible open there to 2 Corinthians. I'll come back to that in just a minute. This passage is teaching us of one of the hardest things for any Christian to deal with when they get saved. Separation. It'd be nice when we get saved if everyone that we used to hang out with and party with would get saved and start coming to church and growing, but normally that doesn't happen. Normally that doesn't happen. Some of them will get saved if you go and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you, but all of them don't get saved. That was the first thing when I got saved, I had a question. You know, I wanted to hear my mom's testimony. I wondered, is my dad saved? And I started asking. You wonder about people you love. Then I started going to my friends and the people that I used to do wrong with. And I started going around to them and asking them. And some of them got saved and some of them didn't. Just a second here. Stay with me and we'll come back to 2 Corinthians. The first recorded words of our Lord and Savior while He was on the earth was this. That when He was 12 years old, He told Mary and his stepdad Joseph, he said unto them, "How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" The last recorded words of our Lord before He gave up the ghost on Calvary were this: "Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said thus, He gave up the ghost. While Jesus was here on earth, He taught us how to pray and how to talk with the Lord. He said, "The will of my Father, ye blessed of my Father, their angels do behold the face of my Father. All that the Father giveth me, I honor my Father. My Father is greater than them all." When you examine the Lord's Prayer, and I wish we had time to go to it this morning, but the Lord's Prayer is not "Our Father which art in heaven." That is the outline for prayer. The Lord's Prayer is where He prayed in John 17 before He died on the cross. John 17, if you examine John chapter 17, in verse 1, as Jesus prays, He said, "Father, the hour has come." In verse 5, He says, "And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self." In verse 11, Jesus prays, "Holy Father, keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given me." In verse 21, just a few more left, "That they all may be one as Thou, Father, art in me and I in Thee." Verse 24, "Father, I will that Thou also, whom Thou hast given me, be with me where I am." And in verse 25 of John 17, Jesus prays, "O righteous Father, the world hath not known Thee, but I have known Thee." So the first words of Jesus, now if we go from His life here on this earth to the moments on the cross, the first statement while He was on Calvary, while He was on the cross, was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Then in Luke 23:46, the last words of our Savior while He was dying for us, the last words that God recorded were, He said, "Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said thus, He gave up the ghost. Now, I stress to you this morning how many times Jesus prayed and as He talked, "Father, Father." The statement before the last statement on the cross, yet one time in the Bible, Jesus is talking on the cross and He says about the Matthew 27 verse 46, Just listen to me. "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" So why was it that though through the whole life of Jesus, it was Father, Father. The first statement on the cross was, "Father, forgive them." The last statement was, "Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit." But one time He prays, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" That happened because, as it's the Bible says in Isaiah 53, "The Lord hath laid on Him the iniquities of us all." And as Jesus Christ became your sin, Habakkuk 1:13 says, "He's of purer eyes than to behold evil, and the Lord cannot look on iniquity." And as the Lord Jesus Christ became accursed in your place, as He took your sin on Him and became your sin, God had to look away, and that relationship of Father, Father, Father was changed too when God looked away. Jesus said, my God, what changed the relationship? Sin. As Jesus became sin, God couldn't look on Him. God had to look away as He became our filth and our disobedience. That got me thinking as I looked at the Bible. You're there in chapter... That statement, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus was saying, why hast thou indicted me? Why hast thou convicted me? Why hast thou sentenced me? Why hast thou disowned me? And it's because He was becoming our sin to make a relationship with God possible. This leads me to four relationships that mankind can have with God. And the first one, I'm going to let represent this chair, and it's going to be right here. This first chair is going to represent the creature-creator relationship. Okay, I'll just put this here just for a second. This relationship here began when you were birthed, when God created you. When God made you, God was your creator, and you were the creature or created. And here, you see, here when you're lost, God's not your father. He created you, but He's not your savior. There's no relationship there. You're dead on the inside. When you're here, when you're created being, that's why Jesus said you have to get born again. What you are on the inside has to get changed. So here, sitting in this chair, this represents the relationship of creator-creature relationship. And so here, I don't know God as my God. I can't even pray, the Bible says. The Bible says the prayer of the wicked is an abomination to God. Until I'm washed in the blood of Jesus and accept Him as my Savior, the only prayer He hears from me is, dear Jesus, please save me. Right? Right? I can't. That's why I feel sorry for people wrapped up in religion. Well, I pray every day, and I read. I'm glad you do, and I know you can do that and still not be saved, because that's not what saves you. As someone here in the creature creator relationship, they don't know God as their Father. They don't know God as God. They only know Him as the Creator because they're the created being. Then there's a second relationship. I'm going to put this right here. It's in line with this chair. This relationship here is the happened when you got saved. Now remember, can you scoot down just a little bit? This is the created creature, creator-creature relationship. This happened when you got born, when you were born. But then, the day you got saved, then God becomes your Father. I'm sorry, then God becomes your God, and this is the God people. Now, you're there in 2 Corinthians, right? You're there in 2 Corinthians. Can we read that real quick? Look at 2 Corinthians. Look there at the end of it. Look at verse number 16. And what agreement, I'm at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So you go from the created creature relationship, then the day came where you saw yourself as a sinner, and you saw yourself on your way to hell, and you saw Jesus for who He is, the only one that could save you, and when you said, Jesus, please save me, at that moment, God says you became one of His people, and He says, I will dwell in them and be their God. That relationship now becomes the relationship that you're in when you get saved. When you get saved. So it's created creature. This happened when you were born. Then the God-people relationship happened when you got saved. And can I just tell you this morning, if you're here and you're lost, getting saved is so wonderfully free. He paid it all. He died for your sins. All you have to do is a simple... There is humility involved. There is an admittance, there's nothing I can do to get saved. You mean if I help all the people in Mechanicsville and stop every time someone's stranded on the road and feed the hungry and help the poor, and if I do this, you mean none of that can help me get saved? Correct. You can help as many people as you want and that won't get you to heaven. That's humbling. But you don't know what I've done for our community. You don't know how I've helped people in the community. It's humbling to say there's nothing you can do except Jesus, please, that's repentance. The word repent means change your mind. You can't save yourself. You instead put your trust in the Lord Jesus who died for you. That is salvation. The moment that happens, Jesus, please save me. Boom, God becomes your God and you become one of His people because He lives within you. So, one relationship, Creator created, starts at birth. This God-people relationship begins when you get saved. I hope that you're saved this morning. If you're not, God loves you as much as He loves me. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Now let me tell you about another relationship. Oh, there they are. I was like, somebody stole my props. Okay. The next relationship, you're there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at the next verse where we stopped reading there. Watch this. Verse number 17. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, comma, see the comma? Look at verse 18. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now wait a second. Here, I'm the created creature relationship. This happened when I was birthed. This happened when God created me. Then I got saved. Then God became my God. I became His people. And wait a second. God now calls every Christian. He says, to the degree you will come out from among them. Out from among what? I had some music I needed to change when I got saved. I had some friends I had to change. They did drugs. I couldn't keep hanging around them. Come out from among them. My language had to change. My mouth was filthy. To the degree you're willing to come out from among them and be separate, God says, I'll go from being known to you as your God, here, people, I will be known to you now as a father and a son. This happens when you get separated. This happens when you separate yourself as a Christian. See, this morning, this happens when you got birthed. This happens when you got saved. But this part right here, let me show you something in the Bible. Let me show you something. Look at Leviticus chapter 20. Can I show you this? Separation is in the Bible. We're going to just take your Bible, go back to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, the third book of the Bible, and look at God talking here to us from His Word, and watch this. Now this morning, if you're not saved, I'm going to tell you something. This message is, I want you to grow in the Lord. Do you understand? There's more to salvation than being saved. In other words, okay, if you are saved, my goodness, there is a wonderful relationship waiting for you to grow in. You don't have to stay right there. You can get closer to God, but God leaves the ball in your court. God leaves the ball in your court. Look at Leviticus chapter 20. Watch this. Verse number 22. Ready? Leviticus chapter 20, verse 22. Watch this. Ye shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, that the land whither I bring you to dwell therein spew you not out or vomit you out. Now, I know this is talking about God talking to the children of Israel saying, when I bring you into Israel, He said, don't do like the nasty things the Hittites and the Canaanites and all them did. He said, or the land is going to throw up. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I know that's talking about Israel, but as I read my Bible and I read that verse, it sounds to me like America's throwing up. Do you understand? You're not noticing all the mess that we're in? We're in the mess because of disobedience of people. The further we get away from God, the more our freedoms go bye-bye. Our freedoms come from the Lord. Do you understand? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. And the further you get away from God, and the more America doesn't care, I don't care what the Bible says, I don't care, the more we're watching our country go down the tubes. Okay? The more we're watching the judgment of God happen. Here, God said, when you come into the land that I bring you, please obey my word so that the land doesn't throw you up. I would hate to be a reason America is throwing up. But when you got Christians that don't care about liquor, they don't care about alcohol, all they're interested in the social drinking, when you got Christians that don't care about separation from the world, if I like it, if my feelings determine what's right for me, when you've got Christians that don't care about the Bible, God says that is a reason America will throw up. Spew you out. Watch this. Let's keep on going. Look at verse 23. And ye shall not walk in the manners of the nation which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. But I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. Yes, I know. I'll say it again. I know this is talking about Israel. But Christian, do you apply the Bible to your life when you read it? You don't hear God saying this, I saved you and I'm calling you into a different life. Jesus said, the thief cometh but not for to steal and to kill and destroy. Satan comes to steal and kill. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You don't get the abundant life when you trust Jesus as your Savior. You get the ability to have an abundant life if you're willing to submit to the Word of God. You submitted in salvation. Now comes the hard part. You see, aren't you glad our God died for us and then asks us to live for Him? It'd be easier to die for Him because that only takes a couple of seconds. But the living part's hard, isn't it? The living part's hard. Now, I don't live for Him to get saved. I live for Him because I'm saved. What kind of a God that I wronged would die for me? It's a love story. It's a love story. Here, I am the Lord your God, which have separated you, talking to the Christian, from other people. Now, look at verse 25. Watch this. Ye shall therefore put difference between clean beasts and unclean, and between unclean fowls and clean, and ye shall not make your souls abominable by beasts, or by fowl, or by any manner of living thing that creepeth among the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. Now, I don't have to, praise God, I did not have to obey the dietary laws of the Old Testament. Amen? I'm so glad I get to eat bacon. Glory to God! I love fried catfish. Do you understand? I know, a Jew couldn't. A Jew couldn't eat pig, pork, any fish without scales on it and all that. Glory to God. Just fry it. Just fry it, amen? Broil it, it's healthy. Oh, men love it fried. Amen? Just fry the stupid. Just fry the whole thing. Watch this. Look at verse number 26. Watch this. And ye shall, I love this, and ye shall be holy unto me, for I the Lord am holy. And I love this. Look at this carefully. And have severed you from other people. And what a phrase, that ye should be mine. God said, I want you, I created you, I was your creator. Then the day came, I touched your heart to get saved. Then I became your God. And God says, I have a relationship waiting for you based upon how far you want to separate. How much do you want me to be known as your father? God's still your father, but watch this. If you're saved, you don't see Him as much. Okay, the Christian that spent the night in the bar last night and then comes to church, they don't enjoy church. Do you understand? Because they know the Holy Spirit's touching their heart. Shouldn't have been doing that. You shouldn't have been listening to that music. You shouldn't have been drinking. You shouldn't have gotten drunk. You shouldn't have been with those people. You know they were cussing. It just absolutely amazes me hearing people say, oh my God. God says, they that take the Lord's name in vain shall not be held guiltless. You say, well, you're too sensitive. I don't think I'm too sensitive. Do you mind if I use your dad's name as a cuss word? How'd you like it if I hit my thumb? Oh, Obama! Oh! It should offend you if somebody uses your family's name as a cuss name. Well, if God is your God, because you're saved, then it ought to bother you to hear somebody say, oh my God.
That's right.
You took the Lord. You were either cussing or praying.
Yes, sir.
One of the two.
Yes,
you were cussing or praying. And God's not a cuss word. Amen.
Amen.
That's good preaching. Here, God says, I have severed you from other people. And if you want to move from this relationship, me being your God, and you being my people, if you want, this is available, but God says, I won't make you do this. I won't make you move to this chair. And if you want to move that much, then you'll experience God as your Father that much. If you want to move this much, if you want to separate yourself, then God says you'll know me as your Father this much. The move is ours. Aren't you glad? It's not required to be saved. I'm so glad. However, now that I'm a Christian, now that I'm a child of God, God says, I have severed you from other people. Somebody says, I don't believe in separation. I had a family member tell me that. I don't want to hear about separation. All I want to hear about is how to get saved, and then I want you to leave my life alone. Don't talk to me about anything else. Just how to go to heaven. And wait a second. Would you take your Bible? Can I show you this? I just want to hear about grace. Go to Titus. Go back to your New Testament now. We're done in the Old Testament. Watch this. Titus. Right after 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus. Go to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Watch this, child of God. Watch this. Someone said, separation doesn't matter. We're under grace, not under the law. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Look at verse 12. Teaching us what? That denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. God's Word does not teach isolation. It teaches separation. Right? We have to live in the world. When I go down to the Wawa and get a coffee, I'm supposed to be a testimony. I'm not supposed to go up and, paid 15 minutes ago, where's my coffee? They know I'm the pastor of Gospel Light Baptist Church. It would help if I conducted myself as a Christian. I ordered something. I'll come at taking 20 minutes to get ready. I pushed the order and stinking screen, and I can't. I feel sorry for people that are miserable. Oh my goodness. God says here, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust in this present world. God says, I know how hard it is. But grace teaches you to live separated. It teaches you to deny yourself. Well, I don't want to hear about salvation. All I want to hear is about grace. Good. Let me tell you about the grace of God that brings salvation that's appeared to all men. It teaches you to deny yourself and avoid worldly lust. Die to self and all the things that come with separation. And yet I know Christians that say, look, if I'm lost, I'll get saved. But I don't want Christianity to affect my lifestyle. Isn't that what the Pharisees crucified Jesus over? He came bearing a new bag with the old wine. He said, both have to change. They didn't want it. We wash our hands this way. Pour the water over. If we go with what you say, we'll lose the money in the silver sales. They killed him because he brought a lifestyle change. Didn't he say that in Matthew 5? If you look on a woman, he said, if you commit adultery with a woman, he said, you've committed adultery. He said, but now he brought a change. Now your mind needs to be clean. If you look on her to lust after her, you've committed adultery. And they were like, oh, he's changing my lifestyle. They killed him for that. Frustrated. If you want to put it in a nutshell, I know Christians that are that way. You can talk to me about getting saved, but separation and experiencing God as your Father, I don't want to hear that. Careful, careful. If I want you to grow as a preacher, I want you to learn about separation. I will tell you this, in the sermon this morning, it's your call, Christian. It's your call. The Lord does say, as it is written, as He that has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Sanctification, cleansing, getting cleaned up, always follows salvation in the Bible. They were first, they were saved, they came through the Red Sea. Look, if I took the tabernacle, I can use so many Bible illustrations this morning. When you came into the tabernacle, the first thing you came to was the altar. There the lamb was slain, and at 3 p.m, and there, that's the altar. If you don't know about the tabernacle, what followed the altar before you went into the holy place? What was the next piece of furniture? The laver of washing. Sanctification always follows getting saved in your Bible. It's over and over again. That's not the sermon this morning, but I will tell you this, Christian, none of us have arrived. All of us are supposed to be growing, right? You're supposed to be closer to the Lord this year than you were last year. That's called growing. It's called none of us have arrived. Well, how do you... I know some Christians, though, they cut their growth off. Talk to me about getting saved, but I don't want to learn about separation. I don't want to learn about it. Here we go. I'm watching the time. I got just a couple of minutes left. Would you take your Bible and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5? Watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Look, I'll mention the negative in a sermon if it'll help you grow. But there is a la-la land Christianity that is out there, and it's an Americanized, no sacrifice, doesn't cost me nothing, I don't want anything to do with anything that changes my lifestyle, tell me everything that I'm doing is right type Christianity, and it's a watered-down, weak mess. No, God does not approve of liquor, God doesn't. If you got a cussing mouth, I had to clean my mouth up. Clean up your mouth. Yeah, it's going to take work. It's not, and watch this, if you want help as a pastor, I'll help you with it. Because I know what it's like to struggle with it. You struggle with tobacco, I'll help you. I don't condemn you. What's he going to find out if I do something wrong? I'll help you. I'll beat you over the head with it. Well, I had to have, you don't know the man that took me under his wing and helped me as a young Christian. He was so patient with me. The rock music, I mean, right before he'd pick me up for soul winning in church, come on, it's time to get in the pickup, let's go down to church stuff. I'd say, hey, I heard this new song. He'd sat there, he said, well, come on, let's go. He was patient with me. You didn't see me when I first got saved. You didn't see me. Somebody was patient with me. And I still have growing to do. Amen. I just don't drink like I used to drink. I don't drink at all. I haven't drunk since I've been saved. I don't do tobacco anymore, but do I still struggle? Yeah, I have not arrived. There are still things God wants to grow me as His child in. Amen? So I'm not by any means a finished product trying to show somebody this morning in church how good I am. I am trying to say this, child of God, your chair that you're sitting in this morning is up to you. It's up to you. It's up to you, and I want you to grow. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. Watch this. I wrote unto you in an epistle, not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters. Look at this. Strong statement in the New Testament. For then must ye needs go out of the world. Christian, you take that verse and you go home and you read it. And you tell me what you get out of it. But listen to me. I love you. That tells me there's people you're not supposed to hang around. And God says this in the Bible. There are some people, if a Christian hangs around them too much, oh, it doesn't make any difference, then must ye needs go out of the world. God says, I'll take you home. The wrong crowd, you know what I tell the teenagers? The wrong crowd will kill you. They'll kill you, throw you in the trash can when they're done using you. The wrong crowd will kill you. Same thing. Now, I tell that to the teenagers, but did you know that goes for every Christian? Now, you read that verse, then must ye needs go out of the world. Look at the next verse. Watch this. It says here, but now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother, if somebody calls himself a Christian, be a fornicator. Let me just stop right there. That's mentioned twice. When a Christian says, oh, I don't care about sleeping around or who I have sex with, God says, you're not supposed to hang around them. They're not supposed to be bragging about that. You're supposed to, man took me out to eat. And somebody had, he owned several houses and he was conducting himself very filthy. When he said, I knew the problem and I wanted to talk to him about it. I said, brother, I love you. I said, but are you having sex outside of marriage? Oh, yeah, but it's not. I said, then I can't eat with you. I said, I'll help you if you want help. I'll give you anything you need. But I need to leave. Isn't that what the Bible says? You say, oh, how do you interpret that? There are people, here we go, Christian, I told you this morning when I started the sermon, this is one of the hardest things for a Christian to gather. Do you understand? And since nobody's mastered it, everybody's at a different point. But I will tell you this, God says there are people you're not supposed to hang around as a Christian. Please, if I love you, I'll tell you the truth, right? Right? If I don't care about you, I'll just preach positive and I'll help you feel warm and fuzzy every time you leave church. You know what I mean? And we'll just group hug every Sunday. You know what I mean? Oh, I think church is supposed to be more than that. I think you come to grow, right? Come to grow. Watch this. Let's finish it. A fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer. You can look up each definition of those words. Or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one, know not to eat. Now, I'm going to go to the last chair. Here, this relationship is the Creator created. This happened at birth. Then, I hope there was a day you got saved. I hope there was a day God became your God. And you became His people. And then God said, I've severed you from other people that you should be mine. How close do you want to come to me? And I hope there are some things that you decided, because God touched your heart, that you were going to stop doing so you could do what? Get closer to God. Right? And then God, you started to experience the sweetness of the Christian life. And you started really enjoying church. And church wasn't you could enjoy the singing. You could enjoy the preaching. You could enjoy being with God's people. Because God's growing me. The last relationship is this. And take your Bible and go to John. I'm just skipping over some things. John chapter 15. There's one more relationship. John 15. I'm just a little dyslexic. All right. Okay, John 15. Look at verse number 13. Are you ready? We're almost done. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I wish you'd mark verse 14 and just think about it. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. You were born. I hope there was a day you got saved and God became your God and you became His people. And I hope the Lord is growing you. That's not my call. That's your call. I hope the Lord's growing you and you can experience Him as your Father and you're His child. Then God says, if you want to get closer, If you want to be my friend, this happens at service. This happens when you say, it's not about everything I don't do that I used to do. I want to do something for God. I want to serve the Lord. Jesus said, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. This is the Christian that decides to be a soul winner. Because that's hard, right? Jesus said in Matthew 28, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. When you go soul winning, God says, I'll make my presence known to you more than at other times. Doesn't mean He's not with a person that's not going soul winning. Don't take this too far. I'm just trying to tell you, if you want to enjoy a good relationship with God, it comes from salvation, God and people. Then separation is father and child. That relationship, but there's more, Christian. You can be His friend. You can know Him as your friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. All Christians don't know Him as a friend. You can't know Him as a friend and be running with the wrong crowd.
That's right.
You can't do that. People will live a double standard, but you're only happy when you come to church based on where you're at in your relationship. And I'll encourage you, because I love to see you smile. Amen? If you're burdened when you come to church, I hope you come to church and it's like, I can get some help here. I can be encouraged. I want that. But this is your call. Let's end it with this. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Look at verse number 11. Hebrews chapter 13 and look at verse number 11. Hebrews 13, verse 11. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate or outside the city. Now verse 13 is our call. Let us go forth, therefore, unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. Do you know what was on the outside of the city, right? Jesus took the cross, carried it a half mile, stumbled. Joseph of Arimathea helped carry the cross to the crucifixion place. You had a city. Outside the city were the lepers, were the criminals. They took the refuse from the what was burned, the burning flesh and the entrails and the fat. They took those and put them outside the camp. So outside the city wall was a smell of stench and flesh. It was also the place of crucifixion. It was the place where the lepers and the outcasts of society were. And Jesus said, I'm standing out here outside the city. In other words, you say, what are you saying? Listen closely. If you want Jesus to be your friend, He's not at the nightclub. He's not in the party. He's not at the mountaintop. He's outside the city, dying on a cross for you, loving you, saying, I'm out here if you come to me. If you want me as your friend, there's some separation that has to happen. Can I just tell you, as a Christian, I remember in the Marine Corps, used to be the songbird for my platoon, up in the morning with the rising sun. I remember when I got saved, there were some things I had to put away. My drill sergeant came out, and my staff sergeant, and he called the filthiest cadence in Okinawa. I'd never heard such vile things come out of somebody's mouth. It was disgusting. He said, where's my songbird? You know, all 60 of us are running along the beach, and where's my songbird? And I chose not to go out. I'd gone out for 4 years. We got back to the thing. He said, I want to see Nash in here. I want to see Nash. Come in. He said, lock it up. You know, so you lock it. And how come well, you didn't come out and sing? I said, sir, I'll never sing in this platoon again. That was the filthiest cadence I've ever heard come out of anybody's mouth. And I said, and I'm a Christian. Oh, a Christian. I had to take a stand. Do you understand? And it cost me. Christian, I'm very thankful. I don't know where your stand is. I just know this. Being a Christian is, getting saved is easy. Aren't you glad? It's free. It's free. There, all you got to do is accept Him as your Savior. All right? Amen? How far you want to take the relationship, God says, I'll get as close to you as you want, but ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity or the enemy of God? You can't. Look, the old statement is true. If you ride the fence, you'll split your britches. Get on one side of the... Amen. You'll split your britches. And then you'll embarrass yourself. You can't keep doing that. And watch this. All I wanted to in a sermon this morning was say, the hardest part about separation, salvation teaches you separation because it follows it. But when I found out to be Jesus' friend, He's not at the party. He's not at the group. He's outside the city. And He says, I'm here for you. But it cost me, and it's going to cost you. Christian, how close do you want to get to the Lord? That's your call. Let's pray. Father, please help us this morning. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for salvation that You died on the cross for us. Thank You for Your precious blood that washes away our sin. I just pray that, please, Lord, if there's someone here this morning that they need to trust You and put their faith in You, thank You that it doesn't include anything that we can do for You, but all that You did for us. And then, Father, I pray for the child of God, Your children. Lord, where we need to grow, help us to never tell You no. But Lord, what You touch our hearts about, please, I pray that You'd strengthen Your people this morning. I need to ask a question with head bowed and eyes closed. Is there someone here this morning? You say, Pastor, I don't know if I died, if I would go to heaven. I want to, but I just don't have the peace of God in my heart that I'm saved. Is there anybody here like that? Is anybody with head bowed and eyes closed? There's one hand here. Good. Is there another hand? You say, Pastor, I don't know if I died, if I went to heaven, but I'd like to. There's a hand here. Okay. Okay, that person that raised their hand with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that one person that raised their hand would just look at me for a moment. Love to show you how to go to heaven. Can I have one of our soul winners show you? I tell you what, Mrs. Campbell, could you come up here? And next, Christian, the message this morning was about getting close to God. That happens at separation. It's important. It's important. Let's all stand. The piano's going to play. The altar's open.